CC, if you're ready to rock the house, I mean, you make some noise. Hey! Come on, tell the person that God is up to something. Come on, tell him.
On One Accord with Carmen. This is your host, Carmen Miranda Thomas. Welcome. Glad to be here. And God is always up to something good. Yes, he is. He's so good that he gave us his only begotten son to send us to redeem us. He sent him here to redeem us. So God is always up to something good, sisters and brothers. But our Lord and Savior came to redeem us, and he came to set the captive free. And this is what our show is going to be about, is the uplifting of each and every one of you to send out encouragement, hope, and goodwill to you. And I've been told and called a prayer warrior, which I know I am, but I am also an author of a little book titled As a Man Thinketh in His Heart, So Is He, and a licensed Christian counselor. So this morning, if God is your Lord and Savior, I would like for you to join on One Accord with me in prayer. Because before we begin anything else, I like to put God first always before we begin anything and let him have his perfect will and perfect way. So this morning, I ask you to join in with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come to you this morning giving thanks. And I pray that every listener out there by the sound of my voice, I give thanks for each and every one. And, oh God, we thank you as you keep us all near and dear to you, our loved ones near and those that's afar. From the youngest to the oldest, we just thank you for keeping us under the shadow of your almighty wings, protecting us from all harm and unforeseen danger. Oh, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you continually to keep that hedge around us from the forces of evil. And, oh, we humbly come before you and ask you to forgive us for every word, thought, and deed that we have rendered towards you, ourselves, and each other. Anything that's within us, oh God, we ask you to remove it, that you find this pleasing, that whatever we say and do will be for your glory. This morning we ask that you touch us with your divine wisdom. Help us to lean not to our own understanding, but oh God, we ask your direction and instruction in everything that we do, that great and small. And, oh, God, we come this morning pleading the blood of Jesus over everything that's in opposition, every sickness, disease. We come giving thanks right now that by Jesus' stripes that we are healed. By his liberation, oh, God, we are liberated from anything that try to hold us captive or in bondage. We come this morning thanking you that the burdens are lifted because Jesus said, cast your burdens upon me. So we thank you this morning, O God, for the lamb that came that we may have. By your precious blood that we desire and we claim victory this morning. We don't have to know that it may be that it was paid for on Calvary in full, O God. That everything that we come against, Jesus paid for it with his precious blood. So we thank you for the victory today. We thank you for relationships being restored. We thank you for breakthroughs. But, oh God, you're a way maker for that we see no way out. We know that you're a way maker. We know that you're a problem solver. We know that there's nothing too big or too great that you can't handle. So we pray, oh God, and give you thanks this morning also for the peace of Jerusalem. And let that peace touch all nations. we humbly come before you and ask that that peace began with us. And this we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, sisters and brothers, I come this morning just thanking you for listening and coming in and asking you to just join with me on One Accord. This is what this program is about, is for us coming together as one in faith, praising God and giving thanks to his son, Jesus Christ, and loving and helping and praying for each other. That prayer that I just prayed, according to your faith, be it unto you. So if you believe in prayer this morning, don't pray and don't believe. But Jesus couldn't even perform miracles in Nazareth because of people's unbelief. Many may say, well, he's the Lord. He could have did this or he could have did that. But we was created with the free will, sisters and brothers. It's your will to believe or not. It's your free will. That's your choice. But as I mentioned, as this little book that I've written, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, taken from Proverbs 23:7. We can't flip and flop with God. We can't be up today in faith and down tomorrow. We have to believe in what we pray for. We have to believe in the things that we say that we want to see manifest. You can't speak of undesirables and expect something good to come into your life. So as I said before, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It coincides also with according to your faith, be it unto you. Everything revolves around faith. And it's more than just positive thinking. We have to do more than just positive thinking, because if the blood of Christ is not upon your soul, it's no more than mere words or wishful thinking. But we have to be specific when we come to God, expecting our prayers to be answered. In James, the book of James, it tells us that without faith it's impossible to please God, that you cannot be double-minded. He said, let not that man that's double-minded expect anything from the Lord. You may think that that's harsh saying, that God would not do anything for us if we're double-minded. But how can he? If you're expecting God to do something for you today in action and in prayer for you today, and tomorrow you change your mind, how can he do anything for us? So we have to be specific in what we want. In my little book, I bring out illustrations of that very thing as to the things that we say and do the complete opposite. And then we see the rewards of our words. They either come back to bless us or curse us. I use many illustrations in my little book, from myself on to others. Things that I saw right away when I found out and dug a little deeper into this truth as to how many things that I had brought upon myself by my very way of thinking and my very words, the heartfelt words and feelings that I had about certain things. I looked around and saw that they had manifested. Undesirables had manifested. There's a little illustration also about a lady that had a bad accident, and it left one of her legs very badly damaged, whereas actually it was a miracle that she was even walking. But she had to have special made shoes to wear because the leg was just so badly disfigured that it was really necessary for her to have these special shoes in order for her to walk. But they was very expensive. So when she went in and talked to the clerk about the shoes that she had to have, he told her, well, the insurance company won't pay for these shoes. You would have to pay for them yourself. the only way that they would pay for these shoes would be that if you had that, that if you was a diabetic. Without her knowing the power of her words, she said, oh, well, then I wish I was a diabetic. My God, these shoes are so expensive. If I was a diabetic, then I wouldn't have to pay for them. Well, a year later, believe you me, she is a diabetic right now, and to the point that not only does she have to take medication, but insulin also. So we have to be careful because, really, our subconscious knows, it doesn't know anything about joking or just saying things in the lighter way that she said that, but naturally we all know that the woman truly didn't want to be a diabetic. She just said that out of frustration because the shoes were so expensive when she should have been trusting God as him being our provider, to trust God to make a way for her to pay for those shoes. All she had to do was trust in God and lean on him, knowing that he was our provider and the need would have been met, other than bringing something up on herself that she know that she did not want. So again, that I say that we have to be careful with the way we think and the words that we speak. Things that I've said in the past, I was married to an abusive husband, and I don't know, at the time when we got married, he jokingly asked me, how long, no, I think it was I that said, how long do you think we're going to be married? And he said, well, I think I keep you around for about 50 or 60 years. And it was something so intense in me that said, oh, I don't think I could take you that long for 50 or 60 years. I think about 10 years would be as long as I could deal with you. And not knowing the power of my words or the laws of the of your mind, I went right along, even though everything made way for it. But I found myself 2 weeks before my 10th anniversary, packing up my 5 children and leaving that marriage. So everything made way for it for me to leave. But what I'm saying is I didn't realize, and I said it with great feeling, but I did not realize the extent of what those words, your words have tremendous power. So I say again to be careful about the words that we speak, because it takes and goes right out into the universe and begins to work on our behalf, whether it's for the blessings of us or the curses. So many illustrations I brought out about these type of things in my book as to how we can say things, think things, and go out into existence, and it come right back to haunt us. One guy on his motorcycle said, this is how I want to go. I love my motorcycle, and if I die, this is exactly one of my children's schoolmates, young kid. This is how I want to go on my bike. A few years later, that's exactly how he went. And a fatal accident. So these are not anything that I'm saying to bring you in an uproar or become frightened or anything. This is just the making of how we was created, sisters and brothers. Jesus said that whatsoever we ask for, believe that we receive. We speak about metaphysics. Jesus was the greatest metaphysics teacher there was. There's nothing new. They call it the New Age. There's nothing new about metaphysics. It has been around as long as the Word has. And Jesus was a great teacher of it. He told us that the kingdom was within us. He said that people was looking with observation on the outside, looking for signs and wonders. But actually, the kingdom is within us. We have been empowered with everything we need to bring on the blessings in our life, because really, it has already been taken care of on Calvary. We may have many afflictions, because the word tells us many afflictions are the righteous. A lot of people may say, and I've heard this so many times before, when things come up on us, how can that be if a person believes in God? Why is this happening to them? But the Bible said many afflictions are the righteous, but he would bring us out of all of them. It was never a promise in the Bible that we wouldn't go through the storm. But who brings us out of the storm? Who are with us through the storm? And it tests our faith. It brings us patience to be able to endure. So that's why I say, sisters and brothers, this morning, don't be afraid of trials and tribulations. Don't be afraid when things come up on us. I was scheduled to air 2 weeks ago to host this show on BBS. Everything had fallen in place so smoothly. Everything had just opened up for me. It was just going so smoothly. And all of a sudden, the week before I was due to come on the air, I was struck with shingles. Anyone ever know anything about shingles, you know that it is something to deal with. And when I went into the emergency, the doctor told me that out of his 35 years of practice, he never seen anyone that had shingles to the extreme that I had. Oh, I was struck down. But I tell you one thing, I fall down, but I'm gonna get up. With the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection power, nothing will hold me down. Nothing is too big to keep me down when I know who my Savior is and I know who is the way maker, the problem solver, and the one that can get me up off of my sick bed and the one that can regulate the pain that I had been feeling, because it is excruciating pain. But I put my hand on myself and plead the blood of Jesus over that pain for it to subside. Go somewhere else. Get behind me. Dissipate. And I am feeling fine today. Thanks to the Lord God, I am feeling great. But this is what I'm saying. We are not exempt from any undesirables coming up on us, sickness and all type of things that may come up on us. But the thing of it is that we can't give it power to stay there. It may come up on us, but we sure don't have to submit to it. We don't have to give in to it to say, well, this is going to be my lot for the rest of my life. I hear so many people say, well, if my father had diabetes, my grandfather had it, then I guess I'll have it. You have opened yourself up. You have opened yourself up. So I say again, trust God for your healing. Trust in Jesus for your almighty healing, because the debt has been paid for on Calvary. Believe that those stripes that he took up on his body was not just for someone to just be beaten on him and he just took it. We was bought with a price. And this is what we're going to go into, is that the goodness of the Lord and what we can expect, what our benefits are. And for us to know that what we in place within us, we will see the working on the outside. So again, sisters and brothers, I say, let God be your shield, your breastplate of faith, and join me on one accord with uplifting each and every person, the Christ within them, coming together, sticking together, praying for each other, and knowing that it is God that saves. We can't look for anyone else other than the blood that was shed for us on Calvary. So again, I say thank you for coming in and joining with me, that we're going to go through quite a few things on this show, that I would like to enlighten you on some of the things that I have experienced. My faith, my spiritual walk has brought me through many, many a trial, many of healing, from getting up from a sick bed, from getting up from a condition where the doctors have even given up on. Trusting in God is our only key. This is your host, Carmen Miranda Thomas, and welcome back to On One Accord with me. And this next segment here, I'm going to take a little time out. On my profile, I know that I mentioned about the ministry. Jesus did not mean for the ministry to become a cash cow business. And this is what I want to talk about a little bit, is a call for courage. A few of us are speaking out in this day and time about the cash cow business that the ministry has become. Sisters and brothers, Jesus did not mean for the ministry to just turn into a business of nothing but making money and living lavishly, and the flock are hurting. That's right, the flock. People are emptying their purses out, but yet there seems to be only one or two that's living lavishly off of this. And this magazine called The Charisma, in the May issue this year, the editor had been an editor for Charisma for 11 years. His name is J. Lee Grady. Wrote an article, Fire in My Bones. He said that it's time for all of us to hold up a sign that says, no more. What does he mean by that? No more lavish $2 or $3 million homes, bodyguards, $10,000 a night hotel rooms, private jets. Hey, this is just not meant to be, sisters and brothers. There are people out there that's opening up, giving out, and they are hurting themselves, but they can't go back to the source that they are giving money to get any help for themselves. And it's time for us to open our eyes and become wise. It wasn't meant for us to have to buy our way into heaven. You can't do it. And the Bible say you will surely come to want if you give to the rich. Why are we giving to the rich when they already have? Jesus said to feed my sheep. Jesus took care of the physical needs as well, the spiritual needs also as the physical needs. He didn't let people go away hungry that he knew that was out there listening to his sermon. He took care of their physical needs. But you have ministries right now that will tell you to give, 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 and you can't go back and get a dime from them to help out if you have a situation. I don't think that is right, and a lot of us are beginning to speak out about it. And I want to read to you from Psalms 94. This is a song of triumph for justice. The book of Psalms, 150 of them, they have a purpose for any and everything that you may go through in life. All type of situations. and I will be glad to share the songs with you for any type of personal situation, because there's a song for any and everything that you may need. This song here, A Triumph for Justice, just let me read a few passages. Starting at verse 14 from the 94th chapter, it says, "For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto the righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me? Who will rise up for me against the evildoer? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord has been my help, my soul had almost dwelled in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comfort, my delight, my soul. Shall the thorns of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring up on them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord shall cut them off." In this day and time, sisters and brothers, I'm sorry to say it, but I will. We see more and more falling by grace. So many are coming out. God are exposing those that are doing wrong. One by one, we are seeing them. There's no need for you to turn the other way. It's time for us to be wise. There was on the Biography Channel just a few weeks ago, there was a man that defrauded 1,600 churches, sisters and brothers. That's 1,600 ministers. Across the United States, he defrauded 1,600 churches by coming in there pretending that he was going to give them a return back for an investment. He had the oversized checks that you see people that win the lottery, the big oversized checks to show them that people that had gained from these investments, and he just reeled them in. He reeled them in. Oh, he went to churches with his crew, hooping and hollering and praising the Lord, but every person that he got, the ministers, it came out at the end. When the FBI came in on him, a lot of ministers said that they didn't have anything to do with it, when in actuality, they got $500 a head for each one of their members that invested $3,000. So this is what I'm saying, is that once they seized all of his possessions, 20 cars, 15 motorcycles, boats, three or four homes. This is from the people's money, from the church. Now, is it time for us to be wise, or is it time for us to keep on doing what we've been doing? That to allow these ministers to constantly live in lavish excess. J. Lee Grady said, "We need leaders today who reject lavish excess. They'll stand up and tell you how God favored them. It's just like they're the only one that God favors. Sure, he's favoring them by you opening your purse." Am I against people putting money in church? Of course not. I have my own church, home church. But when it comes to private jets, and they standing there telling you about private jets, when I know that there are some people out there in the congregation that maybe can't even pay their gas bill, I have a problem with that. When there are people out there that can't pay their mortgage, but they're asking you for money, I have a problem with it. Several years ago, I was on local gospel radio right here in this city. I only aired 15 minutes every day, 5 days a week. But it did a lot of good as far as uplifting people. I got calls of people saying that they had asked God for answers to prayers, and through my message came the answer. So it was a reward, and I wasn't looking for the glory. To God be the glory. But I'm glad that that little 15 minutes did some good to some people. But there was a particular lady that had called me after my airtime one morning. And she said, I desperately would just like to come and sit down and talk with you. I've been listening to you on my car radio, and I just need to come. And I made arrangements for her to come. When she came to me, she said, I have been listening to you on my radio in my car because my lights are out and my gas is out. And I got my income tax check, and my minister told me to bring it to him and that he was going to pray over it and bless it, and I was going to receive a big blessing. I said, but what did you do with your income tax check? He said he took it. He wanted all of it. I said, you gave it to him? He took it? All of your money? All of your income tax check? I said, sweetheart, that was your blessing to get your lights and gas turned on. You're waiting for a blessing when God had already sent you your income tax check. And you mean to tell me he took all of it? She said, no, I just signed it over to him. So this is what I'm saying. Greed has taken over the ministry. All of this lavish living, and then they'll stand up and talk to you just like you are the downtrodden. You are the downcast. Nobody are getting blessed but them. But they're getting blessed by you. One minister came on and said, a lady came to him and asked him to help her with her house because it was about to be foreclosed. Big mega church. He said he told her he had to go ask God about it. He had to go pray about it first. He came back and he said he told her no. God told me to tell you no, to trust in him. He don't want you trusting in me. But sisters and brothers, I'm going to ask you a question. Who does God work through? Doesn't he work through us? He's not going to open the sky and pull her out money to take care of her mortgage. He works through the mind and heart of man. So I know God didn't tell him no. That was through his own greed. So this is what I'm saying. It is time out for us to think that we can pay our way into heaven. A lot of people give to the church and won't give another person in need a dime. So it's time for us to turn this thing around. Many ministers use scare tactics to scare you. If you don't pay, if you don't give, then you can't get a blessing. There are prayer lines, prayer groups that have big webs on the website. Send your prayer request in. We'll pray for you. A multitude of prayer warriors will be praying. Okay, you pour your heart out to them and try to submit it. If you don't send any money, it won't be submitted. It will be rejected. It won't even take your prayer request if you don't send in a donation. So in other words, they're telling you that even God can't help you if you don't have any money. So it is time. It is time. The time is now, and God is looking for people to boldly come out and speak about this, and I'm one of them. I will approach a minister in a minute to see where he's coming from. Because many of them out there are only for their own grief. They are for their own self. They won't do anything. And sisters and brothers, I have witnessed it over and over again. When you think that you're doing good by giving, you need to recalculate again. Because the word to those that give to the poor lends to the Lord. So we need to look around and see exactly what we're doing. That really reminds me of the story of Simon.
Right.
I love the stories of the Bible, and I can relate them to so many things in my life and just life in general. And that's one thing that my husband and I do is we have a good time are relating stories of the Bible to our everyday situation or other people's situation. We speak of stories in the Bible. And I don't know why, when I first met him, he called me Sarah. I know I'm not about to have a baby, even at my age, or something miraculous. I don't know why he called me Sarah, but I began to think about it later and said maybe he called me Sarah because I can still bear fruit, and that doesn't mean having a child in old age, but to bear fruit in old age. There's many type of fruits you can bear without a child. But anyway, all of this greed in the ministry reminds me of the book, the story of Simon in the book of Acts. The 8th chapter of Acts, the 14th verse. Because things that I say will be lined up with the word. I'm not using my philosophy about anything. What I say will be lined up. I will come right back with it, with the word. And in this 8th chapter of Acts, it said that Peter and John had laid hands on the Samaritans because they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. They had only been baptized. And when they had laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying of hands of the apostle, of the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness and pray to God, if perhaps that through your thoughts your heart may be forgiven." So no doubt, if Simon offered money for it, he was going to get money to use it. And this is what we're saying right now, is that the word of God has been, it has been taken so much out of text that, oh my God, Malachi 3:10, bring all of your money to the storehouse. It has made the ministry rich as cream by using that particular verse right there. But when you go back to that storehouse, are you going to be able to get anything or a harvest coming from that for yourself? I saw one minister on TV. I was flipping the channels one day, and it came on the air. I don't know. It was just like flipping. I didn't even catch the beginning of it. But he said that his church was now debt free. And his mission was now to go around to each member of that church and make them debt free. Isn't that wonderful? I never heard of that before. But I knew within my heart that should be. But when I saw that, I said, my God, it didn't make me want to run to join that church. But my God, I thought that was just awesome, that the money was going to be put back in. And that is what I saw in the book of Acts when I decided to name this show On One Accord. It has a lot to offer for each other, for us as a whole together. Welcome back to On One Accord with Carmen. I'm your host, Carmen Miranda Thomas, and I was speaking on our responsibility as Christians to come together with each other, praying for each other, helping each other. And that is what One Accord is about. And that's the invitation that I give you today, sisters and brothers, is to become on one accord. Let's come together, sending out prayers of encouragement and hope, and also helping each other with the resources. I look at Acts, the 4th chapter, and it tells of how the people came together, filled with the Holy Spirit, and everything that they possessed, they didn't claim it to be their own. They know that everything that they had came from God. And they brought their resources together, and it was distributed amongst the people, and they said that there was no one that had any lack. Now, no one is asking anyone to sell any possessions that they own or anything, but I'm saying that when you can pool your resources and then distribute it amongst each other, there shouldn't be any lack amongst us, that we can help each other. And this is what I'm going to try to build with this One Accord, is to form a union with us. That is, if you send in a donation, that donation will be sent out to those that need, whether it's you or it's someone else. It may sound a little far-fetched, but if they did it in the Bible, and this is a, in that day and time, I'm sure we can do it now, that we can come together. No one will have to borrow anything. No one will be loaning. If you can send in a donation, and I'm here to tell you, anything that you like, a prayer request, will never be any charge or any donation asked for a prayer request. And some of you, as I told you, the Book of Songs is a book of songs that take care of any situation that you may have in your life. You need a job? Songs 111. You need a new place to live? Song 61. This is what I'm saying. These songs are specifically for things that we may face in life, whether it's sickness. They have songs of thanksgiving for prayers that has been answered. Are you facing a court case? Songs 35. So that's what I'm saying, that if you need affirmative prayer, or someone to stand with you in prayer, you need a specific song for your situation, by all means, write me or email me. And there will never be a request for a donation or offering just for a prayer request, a song to be sent out to you. You send by your own free will if you want to donate. But if I do begin to receive donations, it would be strictly for sending it right back out. That comes in, will go right back out. And that is what I want to do. That's something that is very rare. Like I said, the church that I saw on TV, that was a minister that said that he wanted to go around one by one and read his members. This here on One Accord is not set up that way, but I'm sure that if the donations come in and you need help with a mortgage or a rent or a car repair or a refrigerator has broken down, if there's money in the pot for it, it will be sent out to you. This is what I want to be, sisters and brothers. I'm asking you and I'm inviting you to become on One Accord with me. No pressure, no gimmicks, but just trying to do the will of God, the teachings of Jesus. And the word tells us that if anyone comes to you and wants, and it's in your power to do it, do it. But we have gotten so far away from that. Giving is the only evidence we have that greed has not consumed us. But we need to give. Even in giving, we need to seek God's wisdom. There's nothing to just throwing your money out there and say, hey, I went out there and put $500 in the offering plate to make yourself feel good. What reward do you have? You don't have a reward. That's to make someone else live a lot better. And like I said, there are so many sitting out there in the congregation that's hurting themselves, but don't have anyone to stand up and say, hey, let me lend you a helping hand. This is what it's about, on one accord. Something new that I've come up with through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I believe that it will kick off because there are more and more people beginning to see that putting all of this money into these ministries and don't see any results. I saw one get up there and tell one, go get them. We need a $500,000 tonight. Get up there and get them. In other words, they charging him. Go sticking them, just like a dog. Sticking them. Go up there and get them. We need $500,000 tonight. So he'll go up there filled with a whole bunch of hot air and parading and doing a sideshow for you to play on your emotions for you to give, using scared tactics. But the Bible tells us, be not deceived. And as I said, more and more are being exposed. But we are supposed to be children of God, and our eyes are supposed to be open and our minds. So, sisters and brothers, just let it sort in today what I said to you. Some of it may not be well taken, and I'm sorry about that. But I'm a truth seeker. I don't look at anything with shades on. I see things for what they are. And like I said, I will approach in a heartbeat. What are we going to do for some, if we are in a church? Then there's been some type of disaster going on, or you see some homeless wandering in there. What are we going to do for them? Don't tell me about your anniversary and how much money you're looking for from your congregation for your anniversary. What are we going to do about these people here? So that's why I say that it's time to come off and under the shades. I admire J. Lee Grady for speaking out and writing this article, Fire in My Bones, because he said that he is so tired of seeing the sideshows that it makes him want to pull his hair out. That the money that's spent just on a hotel, he said he know ministers that won't even stay in a hotel for a couple of $100 a night. They have to have a $10,000 a night hotel. And he said, with that money, can we even feed an orphanage? Can we even go build one for them somewhere? Or do something of great means? Private jets, all of this is too much lavish in the ministry when there are too many people suffering, sisters and brothers. And that is what has gotten my goat. Too many people sitting right in your congregation are suffering. And they tell you to open your purse and give them the money and trust God for yours. What's wrong with that picture? Is that they are telling us that they're the only ones that are supposed to live a good, lavish, luxury life? No. We are all children of the Most High, and what he gave to all. He said that he came. Jesus said he came for us. He didn't say some of us or a few of us. He said that he came that we may have a life more abundantly. And he didn't. It wasn't a chosen few. It's that we use our faith, trust in God, and plead the blood of Jesus over anything that we don't see, that we have no desire to see in our life. All the oppositions, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus and plead the blood over it. And we look to God to be our source, regardless of what we may have or who may be in our life. God is our source. No form of government, job, spouse, or anything. We look to God to be our source. And that is what that minister was saying about the lady that came to ask him for the money. Sure, it could have came from another source. But apparently the Holy Spirit led her to go ask him. She knew that he had it. But he told her to trust God. God wanted her to trust him. She trusted God. But as I said, God works through us. Nothing is going to open up and pull us out anything from the sky. We are God's highly handiwork. It's us. So we have to realize that it is our responsibility. That is one of the commandments, to love each other as we love ourselves. And one of the commandments is for us to put that in motion, not with just words, but to be a doer, not only a hearer, but we have to be a doer of the word. So like I said, with Simon looking at Peter for money, that's the same thing that's happening today. People won't even pray for you unless you give them some money. They don't want your prayer request. And a lot of churches will tell you if you go in there, they tired of them dollars. They don't want to see dollars in the collection plate anymore. I'm going to wrap it up for this week. I let it absorb of what I came with you today. This is my first broadcast, and a lot of things I wanted to try to get out. But more next week. Be looking forward to you next week. And I hope to hear from some of you next week. God bless. May God bless you. May his grace be up on you. Let his light of counsel shine up on you. And until next week, take care, and I love you, and keep the faith.